The New York Times has given us two great debates. First, should babies be in first class? They dropped this yesterday, and many people were discussing. Victoria, do you fly first class?
No, I think I've only flown like three times ever. Anyway.
Oh, you don't fly a lot? I don't fly a lot either. Usually. I will say, once you have sat in first class,
it's hard
kinda,
to go back.
It's kind of like, you always look at the ticket price. Occasionally, there'll be a ticket price that isn't like that much more to be in first class. But usually it's like, it's a little pricey. But I don't know. Sometimes you can justify it if, like, you know, then your bags are checked for free. And if you're planning for, you know, I don't know, like getting your money's worth out of the free drinks that they're going to serve you, then you can, like, you know, you can start to balance out the power a little bit more. But the question became, and I feel like this is kind of like a, like the only people debating this are like elitists in first class anyway. So part of the debate was people being like, I can't believe this is a debate because this is only like something rich people would care about, right? So the question is, if you're in first class, you are paying for a better experience. Everybody gets this, right? Like the people are up there are not just chosen because they're rich. They are actually giving more money on their ticket, right? Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, I think people kind of understand that. And it makes sense. You want to sit up there, you pay for it, you get it.
Yeah.
There are also things like, you know, adults-only pools or cruises where children aren't allowed. Sometimes your friends might have a party and say, hey, this is an adult's party, right?
Yeah.
So people understand and are accepting of, like, adults wanting to gather without kids. Like, that's not, they don't, that's not, our society doesn't consider that anti-child to have some spaces reserved. We'll
there
say,
are just
hey,
better occasions than others.
The question is, should first class be one of these places, right? And there was a lot of debate. Like, I think when they asked the manners person, they, much like I did on the K. Roy, which was right, going to a game or not going to be, they struggled with the fence of like, hey, it's not a person. It's, you know, you shouldn't be banning any types of people based on age or anything else. Behavior should be banned, right?
Absolutely.
So like drunk people yelling or talking too much or people playing their headphones or playing music not on headphones, you know, the behavior is what you should ban.
Right.
Now, how do you handle it if a person has paid for a first class seat and then has a baby there and is crying, right?
Yeah.
Or is it on them to get up and move, you know? Should people who, other people who have paid for the experience, like let's say you're a working person and you're paying for first class so that you can actually get 3 hours of work done on that flight so that you can get part of your workday done. Now you've got a baby sitting next to you. They used a person they described that the baby was like crying for most of the time and then when it wasn't crying, it fell asleep. But then the mom fell asleep and the baby was like basically falling asleep in her lap.
Right.
So the baby was either crying or in her lap and she couldn't get any work done. But again, it feels a little bit when you're complaining about that, it's like, dude,
I feel bad.
It's a mom with a child, right? Like,
have
you know,
grace,
so I don't think anybody wants to look at a mother and child and be like, get out of here, right?
Here. Yeah.
But again, we are understanding of somebody who is paying a premium price to, you know, specifically in that time for peace, quiet and comfort. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have any...
I mean, if I had a child, maybe, I don't know, but if I had a baby that I thought that might cry, I maybe wouldn't go into first class just in case, like, just in case, because I wouldn't want to be that mom either.
I agree.
Because I know you can't help it, but I would feel so bad if that were me.
And there's a difference between, you know, you feel more sympathy for a parent who is prepared with games and toys and everything and is doing all they can as opposed to like a parent who just
here's a pacifier.
got there, put the kid down and put their own headphones on and went to sleep and just left the kid basically do, you know, like there's different scenarios we could have more sympathy. It also feels icky to me to be like, well, people in first class have paid for the more peaceful experience, so they should be afforded that, when it's like, all right, well, then everybody in coach just deserves to have a crying baby next to it. You know, it's like,
you all get to suffer.
I don't know. It's I don't have a right answer for it. You know, I go back to, you know, treat people with kindness and respect. Yeah. That goes both ways. Like, if you're the parent with a fussy child, if you know your child is going to be fussy, maybe think of a way to travel that will affect fewer people. But again, then it's like, Well, I know my child's going to be fussy, so I'll just go back and coach because those people aren't paid as much.
Yeah, I know. Well, at least that solves the first class thing when it comes to money and, like, the experience, if that's what you're going for. But,
yeah.
I don't know, it is a sticky situation.
It's tough. I try to have sympathy and extend grace to families with small children.
Of course,
and especially to the child. Like, they're not... It's never their fault. They're not the one choosing to be on a plane like that. They're not opting for first class,
honestly,
right?
Honestly, I feel just as bad because you can tell, like, there's different parents who, when they feel so bad, you can see it on their face and they're apologizing to everyone within, like, a radius. I'm so sorry. I'm so, like, you can't help but feel bad for them.
And I don't need the full apology. If I extend sympathy if I think that you are trying your best to make the situation easiest for everyone, right? I think that's what we can ask for as humans. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to be the airline that decides. Maybe there is space, you know, maybe if there's certain frequent enough flights, one of the day can be like this first class from New York to Dallas is child-free.
I want to say that's been done before on a flight or something like that where it is kind of no kid. Like, I want to say a few years back that was actually a thing. I don't know if it still is. I'll have to look it up. But
look, man, I'm old enough to remember when they smoked on planes.
Exactly.
On a plane. I'm not even really anti-smoker. I think it's not a smart, healthy thing to do. And as a society, it's better if there's less smoke around. But that's not like my big cause. Like, oh my God, you're smoking near me. Every now and then I even get nostalgic for smelling cigarette smoke around me, right? Like, I grew up with it around me. I'm from North Carolina.
Same.
But I'm like, I cannot believe that people smoke on a plane. There's no air in it. There's like tons of people.
I know.
We're all breathing the same air.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but they're at the back.
Well, I filled up my car with gas the other day, and someone was smoking by the pump, so...
Buddy.
Like, okay, wow.
You're going to blow us all up. Speaking of babies, the New York Times brought us another debate. Now, that one was, like, set up as meant to be a debate, basically, opinion. Should we have babies on planes? This one became a debate because of who got sensitive about their article on Nepo babies, or Nepo babies? I don't know how they're pronouncing it. I'm assuming Nepo because I say nepotism.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a whole article complete with graphics, almost like family tree style stuff, of showing you, like, who are getting the writing gigs in Hollywood now? Who is getting the actor gigs? Who are getting the director gigs? Who whatever? And how often the young, fresh face power players are just the kids of the old power players.
Related.
And sometimes the grandkids of the power players.
Yep.
And while, you know, we may not have official royalty where we hand down titles and things like that, there is kind of a nepotism. Now, they did not get into sports entertainment that I saw.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
But we talked about this before. Bomani Jones talked about it on his show as far as NFL coaching staff, how much nepotism there is, right? Like, a good way to get an NFL assistant coaching job is to be in a family where somebody else has an NFL head coaching job in history, right? There's just a lot of people that have gotten jobs, you know? He does a funny bit where he goes out in the street. He's asked people, like, what does your mom do? And the person will be like, my mom's a dental hygienist. Like, do you feel by birth that you have it in you, the skills to be a better dental hygienist than other people from birth because of your mom?
The guy's
like,
teeth?
No, you know?
Yeah.
So why do we believe that people are just, oh, they, you know?
Yep.
Now, there is an element of, you know, if you are in a family business, you grew up around it, you know some things, right? It would make sense that Bill Belichick's kid is going to know football, right? But part of it also is opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Bill Belichick's kid is probably going to get hired by somebody. Even if he knows nothing, he's going to get a first job just for being Bill Belichick's kid.
Well, it's like
kid.
The Mannings, too. They've got all these Mannings who have been successful, and then you got the one bro who's
And in sports broadcasting, it is a thing as well. You see children of people. The one I think of all the time is Ian Eagle's kid. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but his last name is Eagle, obviously. And I hear him, and he's a very good, competent broadcaster, right? He does a good job. And also, there's a decent chance that coming out of Syracuse or Northwestern, whichever broadcast school he went to, there were 25 other people that were just as good that didn't have the last name Eagle that made them immediately, you know, get on for a professional sports team, right? Now, it's tough, and this has been when the article came out, people were like, look at these babies, like, oh, defend yourself. And they're like, you know, I don't know. I just grew up in Hollywood and then I auditioned and I got jobs. You know, like it's tough to, much like the baby situation, when you put it as a personal thing, like, why did you bring this baby on here? That's like wrong to do. Or like, you know, you don't deserve this job. Like, well, actually, that person may have worked very hard and may be very talented.
Yeah.
But also, they might not have ever gotten their foot in the door or known where to audition if their mom hadn't known a casting agency that could put you in the right direction.
True.
You know? And so I think the same true in sports. I'm starting to see referees, and we've seen this before. Like, referee is a family business. Mm-hmm. Sean Hockley, Ed Hockley's kid, is an NFL ref. Yeah. So it's an interesting conversation because I don't think anyone wants to say none of these people whose parents do the same job are deserving or worthy of any of it. That's not true.
Right.
Like they're talented and and some of them might be the best in their field, partly because of unique experience they gained from growing up their parents. But also the industry maybe needs to recognize we need to work hard to provide opportunities that some people get only because of who they are, where they're born, you know, who they live with, who their parents were.
Recognize who's getting a leg up just because.
And yes, you know, we all talk about the break or getting lucky or whatever, and that's just that's a huge, big break.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, we've seen people who aren't worthy and aren't deserving and get those jobs, right? Just as like we can look at somebody and say, hey, that person, their name might have helped them get in the door, but A, their parent worked over in there and they actually went in through this door and they've made their name for themselves and they worked their butt off and they're good at it and that's okay, right?
I think that's the key. As long as you're successful doing whatever it is that you do, just don't stink. Because if you stink at what you
then
do,
we know that
and it's because of your
only
parents,
reason you have
that's
this job.
The only reason you have that job.
Yeah. And finally, on Halftime Entertainment, the Kennedy Center honors aired last night. I was mostly watching bowl games, but I would go back and watch the Kennedy Centers. The thing I like about the Kennedy Center honors, the award doesn't really mean anything. Nobody's like, how many, you know, when you list your Grammys or your Oscars or whatever, not like, and the Kennedy Center award thing. But to me, it's just a super cool show. And it's something you could never do in sports because the coolest moments are they are honoring these people. Last night, it was George Clooney, Amy Grant, Gladys Knight, U2, and Tania Leon, a composer. These people, oftentimes, sometimes they're dead, it's posthumous. They try and get them when they're alive. They are sitting there. The best is when it's musicians. They are sitting there watching usually some other amazing performer do their song, right? So when they honored Carole King, one of the great songwriters, they got Aretha Franklin doing Natural Woman, which obviously like Aretha Franklin made it hers.
Yeah.
But Carole King like wrote that song and sang it too. So she's getting to watch, obviously she's seen Aretha Franklin sing it before, but like in front of all these people, you can't replicate that in sports, right? Like I was trying to think, for the show, I was trying to think of what's the closest you could get. Like if Steph Curry retires and they come back and retire his jersey. If the team said we're only shooting threes this whole game for Steph, that'd be like kind of cool to see, right?
Yeah.
But like, A, you would never do it. And it wouldn't really feel like a tribute to Steph to throw a game or wacky, I mean, you know, whatever. And you guys aren't great 3-point shooters. Like, you're not like Steph. Whereas when Eddie Vedder is doing a U2 song for U2, it's pretty freaking cool because Eddie Vedder is a Hall of Fame artist too and doing and like very good at performing and doing it. He's just doing one of your songs. That's super cool. One of the coolest moments that had a local tie, Ariana DeBose from Raleigh, North Carolina, now a superstar herself, starred in Hamilton, was one of the stars of West Side Story. She's an Oscar winner. I know she got nominated. Yeah, I think Oscar winner. And she was picked to sing to Gladys Knight. Heard it through the grapevine. Here's what it sounded like.
I bet you were wondering how I knew. Baby, 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 about your plans that made me blue. With some other girl you knew before. Between the two of us girls, you know I loved you more. It took me by surprise, I must say. When I found out yesterday, don't you know that I heard it through the grapevine?
Oh, I heard it through the grapevine.
Not much.
Yeah, they had the Pips up there. They were doing the dance. I don't know if you saw
that
the documentary,
was so good.
Summer of Soul. Great documentary. It was an Oscar winner for Questlove. And Gladys Knight, the Pips were featured. It's about these concerts up in Harlem in 1969, a series of concerts. And they are one of the coolest performances. And they, you know, blow the place away. They have so much energy. The Pips are killing it. And so they brought in the Pips. They had Ariana DeBose doing it. But again, Gladys Knight is sitting there and getting to see one of the greatest performers of her generation do a performance of her, and you get there to see it. And it's something that you can only really do, you know, in music and arts in that way. And that's why I just love the Kennedy Center Honors for that.